A couple months ago, I was riding in the car with my son, JD, who's a little over 2 years old. And one thing that JD likes to do whenever he's outside is he likes to point out the moon in the evenings. And we were riding in the car, and it was dark outside. And through the trees, I could see the moon, and it was kind of early in the evening, one of those nights when the moon is just massive. It was beautiful. And so I said to JD in the backseat, JD, see if you can look outside and see if you can see the moon. And because we were on a two-lane road with a lot of trees around us, he wasn't able to see it. And I kind of forgot about it. But then about 5 minutes later, we pulled onto a main road. And again, I had forgotten that I had even said that to him. And all of a sudden, I heard from the back seat, Daddy, moon, I see it. My so happy, Daddy, my so happy. It's amazing how little things can bring children so much joy. We just are kind of coming to the end of a season that we think of as a joyous season. We sing songs about joy. Many of you have probably seen the word joy up in many houses that you've been in. But for many people, the joy of this season often goes as quickly as it comes. We're looking forward to something that we think is going to bring us joy, like maybe a new gift, maybe time off from work, time spent with family. We search for joy in those things, but then they come to an end. And we're back to the normal life. And maybe you've thought something like this. I wish I could just have a joy that lasts. I wish I could have a joy that lasted no matter what my circumstances were, no matter what season I'm in. Just a constant joy. And I believe it's possible to have that kind of joy. And we're going to look at a passage this morning, 1 Peter chapter 1, if you want to turn there and follow along. I'm not going to have the verses up on the screen this morning, so you can follow along with me in your Bibles. We're going to look at this passage, and this, if I was to summarize what this passage teaches, what we're going to see this morning, it is this. God gives lasting joy to those who seek their joy in Him. God gives lasting joy to those who seek their joy in Him. The first thing we're going to see about lasting joy is this. Lasting joy originates in gospel truth. We're going to start in verse 3 of 1 Peter chapter 1. So verse 3, look at how Peter starts here. Peter can't even begin this section of the letter without breaking out into praise to God himself. Look at how he starts. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Have you ever been watching someone when they're on their phone? Maybe you're in the same room with someone and they're looking at your phone, nobody's really talking, and you look at them and they're looking down at their phone, and then all of a sudden they get this little smirk on their face. And you're like, I wonder what that's about, right? There's this anticipation that builds, like, I want to know what you're laughing about. I want to know what you're smiling about. And you kind of get this feeling here at the beginning of the letter. Peter just starts off with these words, blessed be God. And it's like he starts off this section of the letter with a big smile on his face. And it builds this anticipation. What is he going to say next? What is he so excited about? And what Peter goes on to describe are specific gospel truths. You see, he's meditating as he's about to write. He's thinking about these gospel truths. He's thinking about what he's about to write. And he can't even begin to write it without bursting forth into praise to God. And so before we go any further, I think that there is some helpful application here for us. Let's stop here for a minute and think about this. Here's the application. If we desire to find our joy in God, then we must spend time meditating on gospel truth. If we desire to find our joy in God, then we must spend time meditating on gospel truth. Thinking about it. Thinking about it some more. And thinking about particularly gospel truth in the way it relates to our lives, right? Because mere facts don't really bring joy. But if those facts touch and affect our lives in some way, then they do bring joy. So thinking about the gospel and how it relates to the nitty-gritty of our lives, how it relates to when I've had a bad day, how it relates to when maybe someone's been unkind to me, how it relates to the fact that I sinned against God today, or how it relates to the fact that my body is getting older and often failing. See, if we want to find lasting joy, then we must meditate on gospel truth and how it affects our lives. And this would be a great thing for life groups to discuss if you meet this week. What does it mean to meditate on the gospel? What does it look like? How do you do it? So what is Peter going to talk about? What are these specific gospel truths that he goes on to talk about? Let's look at those. And the way I want to look at this is I want to look at two major themes that we see in verses 3 to 5. What I'm going to do first is I'm going to put up a couple of these, a couple of phrases from these verses. And as we read through these phrases, see if you can get the theme that's coming through these verses. First of all, in verse 3, he says, "He has caused us to be born again." In verse 4, he says, "You've been born again to an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you." And in verse 5, he says, "You who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time." So in these verses, you can kind of gather this theme that he's putting before us. And the theme is this: that God is at work in and for us. So that's the first theme that we see in these verses. God is at work in and for us. He's at work in our lives from start to finish. If we go back and look at these three again, he says he's caused you to be born again. This is our regeneration. Then in verse 5, he says you're being guarded by God for when you experience the fullness of your salvation at the end of your lives. This is our sanctification. God is guarding and working in our lives continually. And then he says there's an inheritance waiting for you, kept in heaven for you. This is our glorification that we await. A couple weeks ago, when Pastor Conley was preaching on Psalm 89, he said something that stuck with me over the past couple of weeks. And he said this: God is determined to bless us. And that's the feeling that you get when you read through these verses. God is at work in our lives as believers from start to finish, and he is determined to bless us. And I hope that that encourages your heart this morning, because maybe you came here this morning doubting God's love for you. Hear these words: according to his great mercy, God has caused us to be born again. Maybe you're discouraged right now in your fight against sin because you failed again this week. Hear these words: who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed at the last time. Maybe you're going through some difficult circumstances right now that are just difficult to deal with. Well, hear these words of God's commitment to your life. You have been born again to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. I hope that this truth that God is at work in your life encourages you this morning. God is determined to bless us. And then we see a second theme in these verses. And the second theme is this: that we have a certain future. Again, in verse 3, he says, we've been born again to a living hope. This hope isn't questionable. It's not like I hope that this is going to happen. No, this is a sure hope. And the reason we have a sure hope is because we have a living hope. Our hope is in Jesus, and Jesus is alive. He's already conquered sin and death, which gives us the assuredness that we too will not stay in the grave. We will live like Jesus has conquered death. I think often we get discouraged in our lives as believers because we put our hope in how we're living rather than putting our hope in our living hope, Jesus. In verse 4, he says, you've been born again to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. We have an inheritance, and God is holding on to it for us. It's imperishable, or it's eternal. It's not going to end. It's undefiled. It can't be defiled by the fact that we're sinners. And it's unfading. It's not losing any strength or lessening in any way. In other words, no one can do anything to us or say anything to us on this earth that's going to change the fact that God is keeping an inheritance and it's waiting for us when we get to heaven. And then in verse 5, he says that you're waiting for a salvation ready to be revealed at the last time. You know, one of the most basic questions in life is this. What's going to happen when I die? Is there anything that comes after this life? And as believers, we have been given a sure answer. You await a salvation that is ready to be revealed at the last time. It's like God is poised and ready to pour out His blessing on us. I hope that this truth, that we have a certain future, that we have a living hope, brings you great joy this morning. Look at what he goes on to say at the beginning of verse 6. He says, "In this you rejoice." And I remember when I was first reading through these verses in preparation to teach on it this morning, I came to verse 6 and I read the first four words and I stopped. And I thought, what is the "this" referring to? Well, what he says, what he's referring to when he says, "In this you rejoice," is what he just talked about. That God's at work in us and that we have a certain future. These truths that he talked about in verses 3 to 5. That's what "this" refers to. And I stopped and I thought, do I really? Is that what I rejoice in? He almost says it like he's assuming it. In this you rejoice. I mean, I rejoice in sports teams. I rejoice in my kids. I rejoice in some accomplishment that I make, but do I really rejoice in what God has done for me? You see, so many of the things that we rejoice in, they bring us joy for a moment, but then what happens? The joy fades. But we have something that we can rejoice in that does not fade. We have a living Savior. We have a hope that's waiting us in heaven. God is keeping that hope for us, and He's guarding us and keeping us for that hope that we await. And these are things that can bring us lasting joy because they don't depend on our circumstances. So do you see why Peter begins this section with, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." These are the things that he was meditating on, that he was thinking about. But after reading these verses, you might think, I mean, to be honest, Peter seems a little bit optimistic. I mean, Peter, do you understand what I'm going through right now? Do you understand some of the things that I'm facing here on earth? I mean, it's great that we have something to look forward to in the future, but what about now? And this leads us to our next point, that lasting joy endures through difficult circumstances. And this is what we see in verses 6 to 7. You know, one thing I love about the biblical writers is that they don't ignore reality. They don't ignore difficult things. Peter doesn't ignore the fact that believers are going to go through difficult circumstances. Look at what he goes on to say in verse 6. He says, "In this you rejoice, though now, for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials." Peter here doesn't deny that trials are going to happen. And he doesn't deny that trials are going to hurt. He says you've been grieved by them. He's not going to act like everything's awesome all the time. Difficult times will come into believers, and we're not exempt from that just because we're following Jesus. And this is where we might think, okay, here's where the joy ends. Peter's going to talk about other things besides joy now. But this isn't the case, because look at what he goes on to say in verse 7. He says, "You've been grieved by various trials," then verse 7, "so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it is tested by fire, so that the tested genuineness of your faith may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ." And we see two truths about trials in this verse that I hope will be encouraging to us. The first is that there's a purpose. He says, and I say a purpose rather than the purpose, because I think there's many purposes for why we go through trials, but here we're given a purpose, one of those purposes, to show that our faith is genuine and to purify that faith and to make our faith more beautiful, just like gold is purified. He says, so that the tested genuineness of your faith. So there's a purpose to going through trials. And it's to refine our faith. And then there's another thing that he says in this verse. He says there's a result. Look at what he goes on to say. So that the genuineness of your faith may result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus comes back. So even what he's saying here is that even the difficult times that we go through in this life are going to result in more joy in God. Now, I don't want to breeze by this and act like that's a really easy thing to hear. Because some of you are probably sitting here having gone through or going through really difficult circumstances, and you're probably thinking, that's kind of hard to swallow. I don't really understand how my difficult circumstance can result in more joy in God. And this is a difficult truth. It doesn't necessarily make the trials easier when we're going through them. We're still going to be grieved by them. But it does give us hope in the midst of trials. Because as I persevere through the difficult circumstances in my life, it will result in praise and honor and glory, because it will demonstrate that God is far more valuable to me than anything else on the earth. Let me say that one more time, and I'm going to put it up here so that we can try to wrap our minds around this. As I persevere through difficult circumstances in my life, it will result in praise and honor and glory to God, because it will demonstrate that He is far more valuable and precious to me than anything else on the earth. Here, we're given a reason to continue to trust God in the midst of really hard times and to find our joy in God, because as His children, we can be confident that He has a purpose in everything He's doing and that He continues to love us in everything that He's doing. So let me ask you this. What difficult circumstances are you facing right now? Are they pushing you away from God? Are they causing you to doubt whether God loves you? Or are you persevering in your faith, trying to continue to trust God even though it hurts? I hope that these truths will give you hope in the midst of your trials and even enable you to rise above them and continue to find your joy in God. And I hope that this will help us understand even better how we can pray for our brothers and sisters who are going through difficult circumstances. And again, I think this would be another great thing to talk about in your life groups this week. What difficult circumstances are people going through right now in our groups? What are they experiencing? Let's ask them. How can we help them? How can we pray for them? Are there any ways that we can tangibly serve them? These are the kind of things that it means to be the church to each other. So even in the most difficult circumstances, God gives us hope. Hope that the hardest things that we experience on this earth are going to end in more joy in God. And I hope that the future joys that await you will help you to persevere during the difficult experiences that you're facing right now. When I was thinking through these things, it reminded me of the second stanza of a song that we sing here from time to time, O God, My Joy. This song was written by Paul Q, one of our former members, and the second stanza says this: Sustained by joy and trial and pain, I trust your wisdom and mercy. Through suffering that your love ordained, more like your Son you will make me. For Christ embraced the cross of shame, beholding glorious joys to come. Oh, give me faith like His to see that suffering lifts me to glory. Maybe you read these verses and you hear them explained and you're still sitting there thinking, Ben, I just don't understand it. I don't see how what I'm going through, I don't see how I can have hope and joy in the midst of it. And I understand that it's difficult. I understand that this is a hard thing to understand sometimes. But that's where I think the last phrase of that stanza that I just read is so helpful in explaining it. It says, Oh, give me faith like His to see that suffering lifts me to glory. And this leads us to our final truth in these verses. Verses 8 and 9 teaches us this, that lasting joy comes by faith. How is it that believers can have joy that endures through incredibly difficult circumstances? How is it that believers throughout the centuries have continued to persevere in their faith and find joy in God even while being persecuted? It is by faith. It doesn't make sense, and it doesn't come naturally. This kind of joy that doesn't rise and fall based on our circumstances, but endures and lasts, it comes by faith. And that's exactly what Peter goes on to say in verses 8 and 9. Look at verse 8. He says, though you have not seen him, you love him. You see, most people's joy is at the jeopardy of their circumstances. In other words, joy is going to rise and fall based on whatever comes into their life. A really good circumstance is going to increase their joy. A difficult circumstance is going to decrease or their joy is going to be non-existent. And this is the natural way for us to respond. But what he's saying here is that a loving relationship with Jesus enables us to continue to trust and find our joy in him even in difficult circumstances. That's why he says, though you have not seen him, you love him. We might have expected him to say, though you have not seen him, you believe in him. But he emphasizes our loving relationship with Jesus by saying, though you have not seen him, you love him. And this shows us that true faith goes beyond just a mental assent to something. It affects our affections and our desires. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Then he goes on and he connects this with our theme of joy as he goes on in verse 8. Look at what he goes on to say. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and you rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Do you see his point? This matter of joy that lasts through difficult circumstances would be crazy to anyone who does not have a relationship with Jesus. Anyone who's looking on from the outside and sees someone persevering in their faith, continuing to find their joy in God in the midst of difficult times, it wouldn't make sense to them. And that's his point. It comes by faith in Jesus. Faith so great that even in the most difficult times, we are able to go through life rejoicing with a joy that he says is inexpressible and filled with glory. Wow. God help us, because I know that so often the joy in my life falls terribly short of that. So brothers and sisters, rejoice. Rejoice that you have been rescued by a God who is committed to you. Rejoice that you have been rescued by a God who is guarding you in this life for a salvation that he's ready to reveal to you. Rejoice that you are awaiting an inheritance that God is holding on for you. He's keeping it for you, and he's keeping you for it. Rejoice that you have a certain future, a living hope, no matter what happens in this life. But maybe you're here this morning and you're listening to this and realizing that you don't have that kind of faith. You haven't trusted in Jesus as your substitute. You don't have hope. Your joy rises and falls based on whatever comes into your life because you don't have a sure future. Let me plead with you this morning to please make your future secure. We celebrate this Christmas season that Jesus came as a baby in order to live a life, a perfect life, and die in place of sinners, and that any who put their trust in him will be saved from their sins. And I would plead with any of you who have not done that this morning, please put your faith in Jesus. Let me share two final applications this morning. One, let this passage inform how you pray for other people who are going through difficult circumstances. Earlier this week, my wife wasn't feeling well, and I spent some time praying with her. And what I prayed for her was, God, please help Candace to continue to trust you And don't let this experience make her doubt your love for her. Right? Because there's something more important than Candace getting better. It's that she will keep her faith and continue to trust in God even when it hurts. So let this inform how we pray for people. And then secondly, let me ask you this. Where do you look for joy? Where have you looked for it in your life? The world offers so many things that it says are going to bring us joy, doesn't it? But they end up leaving us either feeling guilty or just empty. If you have been seeking lasting joy in something other than in your relationship with Jesus, let me encourage you to repent and to seek your joy in God. Get to know your God, your Savior. Meditate on gospel truth. Meditate on His Word. Love Him and find your lasting joy in Him. God gives lasting joy to those who seek their joy in Him. Let's pray and ask God to help us this morning. Oh God, our joy, You reign above in radiant splendor and beauty. Your Word has drawn our hearts to love the awesome sight of Your glory. Your blazing light and gospel grace shine brightly from our Savior's face. No other wonder would we see than Christ enthroned in His glory. Sustained by joy and trial and pain, we trust Your wisdom and mercy through suffering that Your love ordained. More like Your Son, You will make us. For Christ embraced the cross of shame, beholding glorious joys to come. Oh, give us faith. Please, God, give us faith like His to see that suffering lifts us to glory. Amen.